Can we just see how the word, how Ehud applied the word of God to himself? And we can see it in this passage that he applied it to himself, I'm going to say regularly. He applied it to himself before he used it in action against the enemy. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's important to see that. Verse 19. Remember, first he came and delivered the prophet. And then he went away. Okay, verse 19, but he himself turned again. So he had left the king. Now he comes back from the quarries or the idols that were by Gilgal. Gilgal. And then he went back to the king. What happened at Gilgal? This was important for the people of Israel. And in Gilgal was the cutting off of the flesh. That was where they were circumcised. And so this is the application of the word of God to me. Cutting off that which is of the flesh to me personally. I can't go and act for Christ, for the Lord. He's Lord of my life. That means I have cut off that which is of myself. And so he went there first. That had to be cut off before the victory against the enemy could be won. Before the word of God was applied to the enemy, it was applied first to himself. So important for us. And this is where being in the word and applying it to myself, as we take these things and make them our own, is where we then learn, as we learn the scriptures, but we learn what victorious Christian living is. With the applied word of God becomes the living word of God in my life.
I think you see that a little bit in verse 16 also, because it said that he made his own dagger. He didn't just pick it up from the shelf. So, which suggests that there's labor. I mean, to really become, Brother Abel quoted the verse, right? You should be able to, when I'm reviled, and he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So, you have to be able to apply the word in every situation. You should have a scripture pretty much when you're faced with a situation to apply. And Ehud was able to do that because he made this dagger. He spent, I'm sure, months. He said, man, this guy's fat, so I need to make sure this blade is, this length and width, and it can pierce him right, and I have to hit the right spot, all those things. And he had to make that sword the right length and the right sharpness and everything else to be able to apply it effectively. And that is one of the lessons you see coming up here to add to what Brother John said. You've got to be able to spend time. There's no easy way. There is no, we can be here for 100 years and talk about the Word of God. But it's that private time that we spend with Him in the Word of God that makes a difference. That's when He's going to reveal to you. Because, and I think this was said earlier, we all, each of us have those different things that affect us differently. And we have to be able to talk to the Lord and have the Word of God apply to those things so that we're effective Christians, effective young people, effective older people, whatever it is for Him.
One of the other things at Gilgal was the stones that came up out of Jordan and were set in Gilgal there as a remembrance of what the Lord had done. So kind of on that theme, we should be remembering the victory that the Lord has had over the flesh, the devil, and the world. In this case, in the flesh, over the flesh. And it struck me when we first read, the Lord strengthened Eglon. And if you go back to the example that Andrew brought in Genesis 19, the daughters wanted to do something, they had to get Lot drunk. And if you look at when Moab was scared of the children of Israel coming, he said in Numbers chapter 22, he said, these guys are going to come and take us over. Let's get Balaam to come and curse them. Mm-hmm. He said, they're too mighty for us. Perhaps we will be able to prevail against them, is what Moab said at that point. So in each one of these cases, the point is that the flesh is weaker. It's defeated. It's a defeated enemy. Remember that. Remember the stones in Gilgal. Remember the work of the Lord Jesus on that cross. Remember Him going into death. And if you've been baptized, you went into death with Him. If you haven't been baptized, you went into death, you died at the cross anyway, but you should be baptized as well. But the point being, the victory is done. The flesh is defeated. it's a practical cutting off and recognition of that. That's what we mean when we say cut it off. It's a practical, it's weak, it's dumb. Just remember that the Lord has conquered, and we should recognize that it has no strength against us.
Mm-hmm. And I want to tie this up together as time has gone. Because we see Ehud, and I want to connect some of these thoughts you just shared. Ehud leaves the place of death, where Eglon has been put to death, there in that secret chamber. He escapes to a very high place in the hill country of Ephraim, and he blows a trumpet. It speaks to us of spiritual application of the death, the victory of the Lord Jesus over the very thing that we're speaking of, this principle of the flesh. That's why Romans 6 is so important, to understand that we reckon, count it as such, that the flesh has been dealt with. And when we reckon it according to God's reckoning, that it is dealt with, then we're able to get to the hill country, to blow the trumpet. And then Ehud says to those that were with him, the Lord has delivered out your enemies, the Moabites, into your hands. And they come with him, he comes down from the mount, they took the fords of the Jordan toward Moab. They didn't permit not even a man to pass over there. This is what victory does, right? And it says they slew Moab at that time about 10,000 men. They were all fat, lusty, self-indulged men.
10,000 Eglons.
1,000 Eglons. Took all their character from him. Because, you know, the flesh wants other examples of itself. Right? That's what the flesh wants. It wants you to be like me so that we have things in common, that we can sit and talk and make ourselves fat and this and that. This is great. And me, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And those men had to be destroyed as well. It says Moab was subdued that day. First of all, they escaped not a man. It was complete victory. And young people, if we're going to have a complete victory in our lives over the flesh, it's not a one-time thing. I mean, for the Lord it was that he had done the work. But for us in reality, practically, Paul says, I die daily. I have to always be cognizant of the flesh in me, that wants to do something that is apart from the Word of God. But when there's victory, it says the land had rest 80 years. When the world was defeated, how many years did they get rest?
40 years. Right here.
So this tells you what a great enemy the flesh is. We talk about the world out there, right? But you know, we're in the world, not of it. So we can raise up a standard against the world in a sense easier than dealing with the flesh in me. And that's why I believe that the rest was twice as long as the victory over the world. God wants to bring us into that restful state when there's victory over the flesh. So time is gone. I think we went over. That clock is actually fast, by the way. So we went over only about 5 minutes or so. But maybe somebody has just one verse of a hymn. You can pray, and then you all can have the